Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Deep back Gibbs. They hand it to Jameer. Busted outside left. Jameer down to the 10. Jameer to the 5. Jameer to the end zone. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. Gibbs from 13 yards out. And the Lions go 2 scores up.
The game of the weekend turned into a blowout. Lions Radio with the call. Good morning, Metroplex. The NFL playoffs are set. We'll get back to the Cowboys with the great Todd Archer at 7:20. What is he hearing about McCarthy and everything else? Todd will join us during the commercial-free expressway here on Sean, RJ, and Bobby. God, I love Jahmyr Gibbs. He's so freaking good. 3 touchdowns, 139 yards as the Detroit Lions pull away, beat down the Minnesota Vikings to clinch the number one seed in the NFC. The loser of this game is going to drop to 5. Minnesota dropping down to 5, and man, Sam Darnold was off. Sam Darnold looked like Trey Lance and Oxnard.
He was seeing ghosts. It's like he was seeing ghosts all over again. It was a very bad performance from Sam. But, you know, look, the Lions, their defense has been really poor over the last several weeks. I mean, they had gotten so many guys hurt, so much attrition there on that defense. And, I mean, Aaron Glenn has done a masterful coaching job. At least yesterday he did.
Yeah, yesterday.
You know, because before he was trying to dial up all kinds of unique blitzes, and it just wasn't working. And it worked yesterday. I mean, they got to Sam Darnold. They got him off of his way out of time, way off time.
What was that stat about Darnold's throws, Bob, that you said?
Oh, 50%. It was a point yesterday during the game. 50% of his throws were off target in this game, which I think during the season they said 21% was his season high. For the year, he looked absolutely terrible. That was when he was 7-for-17 or something like that.
Still, and so, Brian Branch, Kirby Joseph, Anzalone is a baller. He's out there playing with an injury in the arm wrapped, and the Lions are the one seed.
So you say just how much fun it is to watch Jahmyr Gibbs.
Yes.
And this was 2 weeks ago. I think you were tweeting how much fun it is to watch Bijan Robinson. Does it make you say, if I can get one of those guys, if I can get Ashton Jeanty, everything will be all right here?
Yeah, this is a...
You're probably in roughly Jeanty territory picking 12. Mm-hmm.
This is a running back discussion for another day when you don't have post-Monday Morton recaps. The big thing that we all missed on is the turnaround that franchises can make when you pick your running back. When they took Gibbs, we're like, what are you doing? When Atlanta took Robinson, what are you doing? You're not in a final piece mode. You only get these guys as a final piece, as a Zeke Elliott for your current roster. No, you can turn it around that quickly as Detroit and Atlanta have done. So that was the big running back miss in addition to us completely burying the position. All right, let's go around the rest of the league before we get to the playoff matchups. This was supposed to be a big game. In the AFC, it was not.
Knicks with a play fake, now rolls to his right. Bo looks in the end zone, throws a ball behind the intended receiver, bounced up into the air, bounced again, and then caught by Devon Vele. Touchdown, Denver! bounce, not once, but twice.
Craziest play of the weekend, Broncos radio, Bo Nix with four touchdowns. He ran for 47. Carson Wentz. God, you suck. 10 of 17 for 98 yards. He was sacked four times. The QBR was at 22, and the Denver Broncos get in with a 38-0 win.
It was, they cut away from this game so early. I mean, you got to see the entire, like, fourth quarter of, what was it, the Chargers game or whatever. It was, like, such an awful game. So bad. And this is what you get on you know, week 18 when you sit everybody. And this is why, especially this year, where there was so much haves and have-nots, it felt like there was even more unwatchable games in week 18.
The highlight, the feel-good moment, came on Buccaneers radio as Tampa was down early to New Orleans.
Baker Mayfield looks, throws the ball to caught ball. Evans, he's got it to the 40-yard line. 1,000-plus Mike Evans, 11 seasons in a row. How about them Buccaneers at number 13? And that will be the final play. There's the cannons. Bucs win. Tampa Bay defeats New Orleans 27-19. Evans over 1,000 receiving yards. The Buccaneers conquer the South again.
Ties Jerry Rice, gets $3 million for the fourth straight NFC South championship, and Tampa Bay was down 10 against New Orleans. Not New Orleans. New Orleans.
Anybody,
on Bucs Radio.
Anybody who's going to sit here and say, I wasn't going to count Saquon Barkley because he did it in 17 games. If you were that person, you better not be counting this Mike Evans trash. You better not be counting
Bobby
game
had,
is over and you toss him a ball at the end of the game to get him over a fake 1,000 yards.
Well, I mean, no. Saquon technically did it in 16 games.
2,000.
Yeah, 2,000. But if you would have given him hell for breaking the Dickerson record.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Bobby brought up your Bush League point. Saquon Cowboys. Is this Bush League, Mike Evans? What I really wish happened.
Pick six.
Yes.
That.
Pick six, two-point tie game. Yeah, you want to play and screw around with the football gods. You know they're going to Evans. Why wasn't New Orleans totally jumping? Four guys should have jumped that route. Mm-hmm. That's it. Just quadruple.
You knew where it was going.
Mike Evans and try to go ahead and run it back and score. Game over. Bush League? Game over?
Yeah, you're
cheap record?
I mean, you're fishing for a record. I mean, you're shooting for the record, obviously. So, I mean, it's Bush League if it's happened against you. If you're not a fan, it doesn't have any impact on the game. And it wasn't a blowout. If it was a blowout, that's Bush League.
It was over.
But, again, if it was a blowout, totally different to have him in there.
I was fine with it. You were lining up. Everyone knew what was going to happen. Just knocked down the pass.
I'm going to remember. I'm going to reference this in 5 years, 6 years, when we're talking about Hall of Fame or whatever Mike Evans retires, and this stat gets brought up. I'll be like, nope, fake.
You'll be the only one that remembers.
It's faker, than the Strahan sack. It is faker than that.
Okay, so NFL playoffs are set. Saturday at 3:30 our time, Chargers at Texans.
The Texans, without fail, It is the Houston Texans Invitational.
Yep.
It is the first Saturday afternoon game. Like, they always get it because they're like the least attractive team ever in the history of the NFL.
Yeah.
They always get that first playoff game.
At 7:00, Steelers at Ravens on Prime, though. So keep that in mind. First game, national TV, CBS. Second game, RJ is already snoring on Prime.
Unlimited.
Well, they are limited now. The Steelers' offense has completely disappeared.
Who is going to be more asleep during this game, me or Al Michaels?
Sunday at noon, Broncos at Bills on CBS. At 3:30, Packers at Eagles on Fox. At 7:00, Commanders at Buccaneers, NBC. That'll be Sunday Night Football. The Monday night playoff game, Vikings at Rams.
The Rams finished the season 10-7, won the NFC West, and had a point differential of minus 19.
Are they the three?
No, they're the four.
They're the four.
Tampa Bay snuck up and got the third seed when all this was said. Tampa Bay was just trying to... We weren't even sure Tampa was getting in yesterday, and all of a sudden they're the three seed.
It's crazy.
You look at these matchups, though, like, there's a case to be made that Philly has the most difficult one.
Yes.
Oh, for sure.
There is. Gerard Mayo fired.
That was quick. I mean, they didn't even let him get out of the locker room. Did he even do a post game? He was gone by 4:00.
By the way, I binged the Dynasty over the weekend. It was incredible. Fantastic. I'm still not done with it.
Did you feel it was slanted like people were arguing?
No. Well, I don't have enough time for it, but it's really, really good. But Gerard Mayo is gone. Gronkowski criticized this. Robert Kraft listens to his fan base. Maybe too much.
Yeah.
Maybe too much. One and done. And now is this setting up for Mike Vrabel? By the way, New England also losing the number. This number one pick got passed around like Joy Taylor, allegedly.
Oh, wow.
Holy cow. Yeah, it did. It moved quite a bit.
Right?
Quite a bit.
It felt like it was Vegas, Giants,
yeah,
Patriots.
All Deion talked about was the Raiders and the Giants for forever, and then it was like, oh, no, it might be the Patriots. Now it's like, oh, you end up with the Titans. You still gonna commit to your son being number one if he has to go to Nashville?
Please, Titans. Please do this to the Sanders. Please do this to Deion and Shador and take him number one. But is Vrabel locked in to this job? Is this New England and Vrabel?
I think it is.
Nope.
You don't?
Nope. I think Mike Vrabel is going to be picky as hell, and I think he's going to make sure Brian Hartline goes with him wherever he goes.
I don't think New England makes this move without knowing that.
Mm. Oh, I think New England makes that move because, like you said, you listen to the fan base, and that racist-ass city is going to drive out a black head coach no matter what.
Because here's the thing. Like, this was the hand-picked guy. This was the Kraft hand-picked Gerard Mayo. Now, look, there's no way that you know how somebody is going to be a head coach, and that's one kind of notch on Jerry's belt that he has always said, like, I don't want a rookie head. I don't want to learn on the job. This is his example. Like, everything that we would talk about, hey, let's get Ben Johnson, let's get, you know, Bobby Slowick or Clint Kubiak, he would point to Gerard Mayo.
Yeah.
And be like, this guy was a hand-picked groomed successor. Couldn't get out of his own way.
Let's go through the official draft order and the way it ended up. The Tennessee Titans are on the clock with the number one pick. The Cleveland Browns are second. The New York Giants are third. The Patriots are fourth. Jacksonville is fifth. The Raiders all the way down to six. The Jets at number seven as Aaron Rodgers throws for four touchdowns, something like that yesterday. So the Jets are seven. Carolina is eight. By the way, I got to give Dave Canales future props. All right, the turnaround for Bryce Young. Canales was also there for Baker's surge in Tampa. Canales said after the game, five total touchdowns for Bryce. He said, we have our guy. So Carolina's off the board at QB. The Saints are nine. The Bears are 10. Damn, you finished 5-12 and you picked 10? That sucks.
That sucks, man.
That sucks. 11 is San Francisco. 12, the Dallas Cowboys. 13, the Miami Dolphins. They get knocked out. Their owner comes out and says, Mike McDaniel and our general manager are staying. 14, Indianapolis. Jim Irsay. Man, did you see Jim Irsay and the way he was moving around yesterday? He's got like this scooter thing, this scooter mobile. He can't walk or he's not walking. He also says that our regime is staying in place. Immediate announcements after the game. What a concept, Jerry. The Colts are at 14. Atlanta misses out on the playoffs. They're 15. Then Arizona, 16. Cincinnati, 17. They miss out on the postseason. They get bumped. Seattle, 18. Houston, 19. Denver, 20. What's jumping out in terms of fits, intriguing teams, player matches, right off the jump, Bob?
There's a lot that's going to need to be decided in terms of what are teams going to do at the top with quarterback. Like, does Tennessee feel the need to go get one? This is not a draft where a lot of teams are going to have. Most teams, I would guess, in the NFL are not going to have first-round grades on a single quarterback. Like, most of them are not going to grade Cam Ward that way or Shador Sanders that way, even if they end up potentially checking them. Dallas, for instance, we've heard had Trey Lance in the second round when he got picked, and he went third overall. I think a lot of times teams do take second-round graded quarterbacks highly because they want to do that sort of thing. The one that you keep hearing the most as a pairing, potentially, is New England taking Tetsuro McMillan from Arizona, the receiver. A lot of people think he could go fourth overall to them. But, I mean, who wants to just say, we're going to get the best overall player? We want Travis Hunter. We're going to take him versus just, well, we got these positional needs that we need to knock out. We need to do. I will say Dallas picking 12th is right there for potentially Genty range, depending on who really wants to go after him before that. But this is a lot of people you talk to will say this is a 12 to 13 first-round grade draft. So Dallas is right there on the edge of it.
Cleveland's a fascinating one for me because what do they do at quarterback? I mean, they've got so much money tied up in Deshaun Watson, but they obviously, that's not a situation that's sustainable.
Let's go back inside the Star with the great Todd Archer. What is he hearing and feeling about Mike McCarthy? Let's get you set for the offseason and a Nelly ticket giveaway throughout the entire week during the commercial-free expressway. Todd Archer starts it off, and then the drama with Skip Bayless and FS1 and Best and Worst of the Weekend next.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And here's a huge rush again on Daniels and Micah Parsons. How about a follow-up? How about number two?
Micah Parsons with two early sacks, kind of faded from that point on. People getting in their jokes. Of course, Micah showing up in the final week of a meaningless game, but padding those numbers as the Cowboys lose to the Commanders to finish up 7-10 and the 12th pick in the draft. Good morning, Metroplex. This is Sean, RJ, and Bobby, joined by the great Cowboys insider Todd Archer from ESPN on the D&M Leasing Hotline. Expressway is commercial free right now, and we have a Nelly ticket giveaway. Good morning, Todd. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Doing okay. Were you in the Jerry scrum for all 20 minutes last night?
It was more than 20. It was about 40.
Oh, wow. Okay. It was about 40 minutes. I guess
Jane only got 20.
There was a original scrum and then a smaller scrum when they said McCarthy was going to talk, and it was kind of hard to walk away from Jerry because you had no idea what he was saying.
Okay, when the game ends, do you...
Wait, no idea what he was going to say, or you couldn't understand what he was saying because you couldn't follow along?
It was a circle. He kept talking in circles. I love Mike McCarthy. Nothing he's done has diminished my opinion of him. And then it was, but you got to take, I'm not going to just base my decision on what happened this year. Okay, yeah. Well, which is it then? So is it the five-year view? Is it the one-year view? Are you keeping him? Are you not keeping him? I think anybody who thinks they know what Jerry is going to do right now is just lying. Because no one knows. And I don't know if Jerry knows, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I agree with all of that. When did you start believing Mike could come back? You know, because this was dead man walking, and then he was on with us, and he's like, no, it's not crazy that Mike could return. We're all just trying to figure out whether he's trying to sell it. When did you think that this was a legitimate chance?
Yeah, probably right around that time because they won three in a row, two in a row, four out of five, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And you know, the guys are playing hard for them. And I kept coming back to, like, and that's all well and good, right? But shouldn't we expect that? Like, shouldn't we expect players to play hard regardless of circumstance? Didn't the former coach tell us that? Wasn't that a line that he used all the time? Be your best regardless of circumstance. It was always a possibility. And then you hear Jerry say, I regretted firing Wade Phillips. Why? They were 1-7 and going nowhere. Like, they regretted firing Chan Gailey after 2 years. Okay, that one I can kind of understand because he did go to the playoffs. So as he gets, the more regretful he gets, then you start thinking, well, maybe Mike can come back, because if Mike were to go somewhere else, have success in whatever role it would be, Jerry would say, wait a minute, I had that guy. I regret firing him. So, yeah, it's everything's so convoluted about how this team operates that you can make anything that you want to be true. What's the Costanza line? It's not a lie if you believe it to
right.
be true.
Yeah.
Anything with this team can be true because you can make the case for it.
Todd, make the case for McCarthy to return and make the case that they should move on.
Well, 49-35. They do play hard. He's had success in this division against division foes, even in quote-unquote bad years. You look at what the offense did, maybe not this year, obviously, but last year leading the NFL in points. Those would be the cases for, but then against is he was brought here in 2020 to do what Jason Garrett couldn't do. He had 5 years to get it done, and he didn't do it. I mean, at what point is enough enough?
Yeah.
And I think that's I don't think the reason to bring him back is, well, who else are you going to get? That shouldn't be the – that could be like the eighth reason to bring him back, but not like the first or second, right? I mean, and is there a great pool of candidates right now where everybody would say, well, that guy's certainly going to be better than Mike McCarthy? I don't know. But maybe Vrabel, because his track record in Tennessee, we saw what's happened to them since he's left. Maybe he'd be a guy that would – you'd say, okay, that will be better. They'll be better organized. They'll be – up on situational football, all that kind of stuff. But everybody else, who would you say automatically say that's an upgrade? I'm actually asking a question.
I mean, you don't want to ask me who I think is an upgrade, Todd, because I'll give you a whole list of names. Todd Archer from ESPN joining us here on 105 Through the Fan.
By the way, breaking news, Doug Peterson is out in Jacksonville.
Todd,
Super Bowl winning coach
there you go. With a street named after him.
Statue.
He knows the NFC East, so he's got a whole statue just like Rocky. Todd, would you say the chances of Mike McCarthy returning as head coach are exactly the same as Mike McCarthy's chances of returning as play caller, in the sense that if he's back, is he calling plays for sure? It's going to be his way, or are they going to say, no, this is our compromise. You're back, but we're finding somebody else to do this on offense.
I think he'll fight to be the play caller. He believes he's good at it. Again, just last year, they led the league in scoring. Some of that might have been tied to defensive touchdowns. I got you. But it's hard to argue with the success they had in 2023 offensively. Then it gets to, okay, well, who would be the play caller? Is it going to be someone that he has familiarity with, that they're going to run this system? Is it going to be someone completely new? If it's someone completely new, then why have him in charge of the whole operation?
Yeah,
as the head coach. But, yes, again, Jerry said anything is possible when that scenario was laid out in front of him. As if Mike returns, would it be as the play caller as well? You know, this is why it's so frustrating covering this team, because it doesn't seem to be a direction at times. It seems to just stick your finger in the air and say, okay, there you go. Let's go that way this time. I will say this. I don't think this team is as bad as they appear to be at times this year, and they can be a playoff team next year. So it's still an attractive job if it becomes open. And even if McCarthy stays, I think this is a team that can be a playoff team. Whether a Super Bowl contender, I don't know, but a playoff team.
Todd Archer joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. Are they cheap when it comes to coaches? Like, would they go to the $15 million Sean Payton, Ben Johnson, whoever Ben Johnson wants? Would they go to that kind of dollar figure?
I mean, it depends on who the guy is, right? Like, this is what I'm just supposing this, right? I'm not saying this to be a fact. Would Jerry hire a first-time head coach at $15 million a year? I don't think so, and I don't know if that's out of cheapness or if that's out of why would I give this guy $15 million a year?
Yeah.
Well, that's not the going. That's how many coaches are making 15? Bobby, you probably know that out of your brain.
It's like four or five.
Right. So, all right, Sean Payton is one of them. I'm sure Andy Reid's one of them. Who else is making that much money, and are they first-time head coaches? So part of me wonders if that's the case, what Ben Johnson wants. Does he really want to be a head coach? I don't know. Does he have the personality to be a head coach? I don't know. So I don't think cheapness is a factor when it comes to the head coach necessarily. I think Jerry's cheapness factors in when he looks and sees there's 32 coaches on the staff. Why do we have 32 coaches?
Todd, do you know if they like any other candidates out there?
I'll be lying and if I say, yeah, they do, because I don't know. And again, Steven has a relationship with Vrabel through the competition committee. So I think we sometimes make too much of that because those guys get together like three times a year. So I'm not going to sit here and say that he would be a guy because of that, right? Years ago, we tried to connect Lincoln Riley here because he recruited John Stephen out of high school to go to Oklahoma. I mean, is that relationship still alive? Maybe so. Sark, is there something there in Texas? Because they know him well with Charlotte's son playing there, and maybe that's not always a good thing either. But, you know, maybe they have a relationship there. I think the big key when you look at how Jerry likes things, is there a previous relationship? Sometimes there is, sometimes there isn't. Obviously, with Parcells and McCarthy, there really wasn't. But can I work with this guy? And which means, can I have fun doing this job too? And I don't know if that's the best way to operate as a general manager. It should be get me the guy who wins the most games, not allows me to do what I want to do and makes it fun for me.
Todd, we're talking about Mike McCarthy a lot, but what about Mike Zimmer's future? Do you think that – is he a bigger question to return than even McCarthy is?
Yeah, I think so. You know, in the middle of the season, you start to hear from people who know Mike well saying, I don't know if he wants to do this anymore. So it wouldn't be a Jerry decision necessarily. It might be Mike Zimmer saying, I came back, I coached the season, I did what I could do with the hand I was dealt, the players I was dealt, the injuries I dealt with. And I'm pleased with what my guys put on film for me as the year went on. But I do wonder if he wants to continue coaching or if he just wants to go tend to his horses on his ranch.
Todd, and he just recently got engaged, yes. So congratulations on the fiance, Coach. Explain the incentive talk yesterday. What the hell was that? And are other coaches operating under those types of circumstances in their deals? What was Jerry talking about with head coaching incentives?
Yeah, this is when he started talking about a Mississippi Riverboat gambler, too. And it just, you get glazed eyes and say, what in the world is he saying? You know, I guess it's the college coaches, right? But they get $500,000 for going to a bowl game, $1 million for winning a bowl game, $2 million for a net. Maybe that's what he's talking about. Show me all the NFL contracts that operate that way. And he was talking about how fans want to see these guys on incentive plans. Well, I'm in the back of that, and I couldn't get close enough to say, I think fans would want their general manager on an incentive plan as well.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're in a situation where if that's how they're going, and maybe that's the offer it's presented to Mike McCarthy, that in some ways Jerry will make him an offer he can refuse.
It may have been you. But someone asked, okay, so like while Mike is in limbo, because you may not have made a decision yet, can he go interview elsewhere? And he came back. The word threat is probably a little bit too strong, but that was a weird response of, well, I want people here who want to be here. Is that like warning McCarthy? Don't flirt. Don't go interview elsewhere. What did you make of that?
No, I took it as if a guy wants to go talk to somebody else, okay, go ahead. You know, I'm fine. So, and again, it's not just McCarthy. It's every coach on that staff. I do find it funny when he said, I want guys who want to be here. And I immediately flashed back to Tony Sperano in 2007, who absolutely did not want to be here after he didn't get the job. And they made him stay. So, again, in Jerry's world, everything is fungible.
Todd, should we prepare for another offseason like the last one that really was the most negative from the fan base that I can ever remember? Yes, they re-signed their own, but the Derrick Henry stuff and Steven tied up, cheap, all the narratives and stereotypes. Should we prepare for that? Because you look and study and examine the numbers. Are we getting that again probably?
I don't think it'll be the extreme that they were this year. I would caution people to say that they can create $100 million in space. I don't see how they do that because the money they're carrying over from this year's cap is already spent on the deals that void for Zach Martin, DeMarcus Lawrence, and Brandon Cooks. And there might be another one that I'm missing in there as well. And then you have to remember, okay, you create all that space. Well, you only have 40 guys on the contract. Last time I checked, you needed 53 to at least start a season and probably 80 to get through a season. But they'll be in position to do whatever it is they want to do under the cap. The question is, how do they want to do it? They will never play at the top of the free agent market as much as everybody might want them to. They have to do more than they did last year, and I think they will do more than they did last year because this is a roster that needs improvement. It's not just – you can't just rely on improvement from within the entire time. You have to go out and spend something. Play in the middle of the market. You know, live in a nice neighborhood, not the cheapest neighborhood and not the most expensive neighborhood, right?
Right.
I mean, you can live in Bobby's house. That would be the place you live.
Apartment.
Yeah.
Oh, never mind.
Todd, they went the complete opposite of what they were thought to be, you know, when they drafted Zeke at four. They went the complete opposite over recent years with running backs and just completely ignoring the position and refusing to spend money on it. We've been talking about Ashton Gentry maybe at 12. Would they consider a running back in the first round, do you think, at this point? Have they kind of gone back towards the middle?
I think where they're picking, I think they would if they were in the top five. I don't know if they would consider a running back in that spot. But again, because everything in this organization can be whatever we want it to be, they just saw Rico Dowdle, an undrafted free agent, rush for 1,000 yards behind an offensive line with how many undrafted free agents, how many third-day picks playing. I think in their mind they can say, well, maybe we can get a guy in the third round and pair him with Rico Dowdle if we keep him, and the running game will be fine. So as much as Gentry dances in the minds of a lot of people and he can come back and practice in the stadium that he played high school football in, I think he would have played at the Star, right, Bobby?
Yeah, he did occasionally. Yeah. Okay.
I don't know if the Cowboys would actually follow everybody else and say running backs matter again, but certainly I hope they take the tack that running backs matter more than they thought they did in the offseason of 2024.
Todd, what would you say to the fan who is just beaten down and hopeless? They feel held hostage by the front office. It's not really about winning championships. It's about the notoriety. Is it as bad as we think? Is there some type of newfound hope we're not seeing? What do you say to that fan listening?
Well, if I was Jerry Jones, I'd say we're the fifth or sixth or seventh winning his team in the last 6 or 7 years. And shouldn't that be good enough for you? The fact that he gave that answer a couple of times yesterday is alarming because this is supposed to be about Super Bowls, not being the fifth or the sixth or the seventh winningest team in the league and being around the rim. It's about dunking the ball home and winning a title. And if you win one title in a 5-year span, I don't think fans really care what happens in those 4 other years.
Mm-hmm.
Would they? I can't sell you hope. I can't. But like I said earlier, I do think this is a team that can be in the playoffs next year, and I say that now as the home schedule goes through my head when it's, Green Bay, Kansas City, Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
There's another one in there that I'm missing that's a really good team, too. They have like 6 of their 8 home games next year against playoff teams this year. They just went 2-7 at home. So you better hope that Dak is healthy and playing better than they did before he got hurt. You better hope that if Mike McCarthy's back, the play calling is improved. You better hope that in the draft, if they don't get Gentry, they at least get some playmakers. Because to me, that's on offense, besides CD, who do they have? That's a true playmaker. So I'm looking more at playmakers on offense than maybe I should at this point. But I think that's the way they have to go.
What would you do if you were the Joneses with Mike?
I'd probably take the 5-year view of this thing and say he was brought in here to do what Jason Garrett did, and he had 5 years and it didn't get done. Is that fair? Probably not completely, but I'm not basing it off of what this season and what happened. I think he probably might have had a better year this year than he's had in some of those 12-5 seasons in some respects with how the guys played and how he dealt with injuries and all that stuff. It might be just time for a change. That's not entirely fair to McCarthy with how this thing has played out and how the hand that he was dealt this year and how they set up their roster. But this is the NFL and this is the life they choose.
You're the man, Todd. Thank you so much. Y'all crushed it in the post game with the questions for apparently 40 minutes, not 20 minutes. Keep busting Bobby's balls and we'll be in touch. Thank you, man.
Yep. Thanks, guys. We'll talk to you.
Todd Archer, ESPN on the D&M Leasing Hotline, getting all the YouTube views up.
Todd's very good. Todd's plugged in, and I agree with him 100%, though. The idea of just – that, to me, is the ultimate question that it comes down to is you were brought here to be different. You were brought here to be different. You got 5 years, and you didn't do it.
Let's hook you up for turning it on, leaving it on today and all week long.
All right, Cholos, right now, call number 10 at 877-881-1053 wins a pair of tickets to see Nelly at the Dos Equis Pavilion in Dallas on Friday, September 5th. That's call number 10 at 877-881-1053.
We have breaking news presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. RJ Choppy, the New York Giants are bringing back Brian Daboll and the Saquon general manager, Joe Shane.
Thank you.
Oh, man.
Thank you.
They hung on to Gettleman too long, and now they're going to hang on to the only other man with a smaller neck than me, and that's Brian Daboll.
Yeah.
This doing us a favor? Should we be happy? Or are the Giants actually being reasonable and saying, look, we can't judge this guy with Daniel Jones at quarterback. We missed on the quarterback. We have to have another one.
Look, at the end of the day, there's truth in that statement, right? You know, I do not believe.
Who helped contribute to Daniel Jones returning, though? It would have been Daboll and Shane. Would have been their evaluations.
Shane is the problem.
True. Giving him the $40 million is the problem.
Right.
Yes.
I would have probably moved on from Shane. If you want to, I don't believe you can accurately evaluate a head coach without a quarterback.
I would just say, I don't think you're in that much different a position here in Dallas if you run it back the same way. So I don't know how much we can laugh at it knowing that there's a pretty good chance they're running back the head coach and the general manager in the same sort of fashion.
So you just don't want us to bring up the difference in records or regular season success and just act like it's the same thing? I mean, that's that's probably a more ridiculous comparison than Choppy's McCarthy and Tomlin.
McCarthy coaching in New York this year with that team goes 4-13 too. So I think they are pretty close to the same head coach.
I just think
they have different rosters. Yeah. They have different rosters, obviously. But if you want to talk about as coaches, I think Daboll and McCarthy are very similar.
877-881-1053. Now let's get to the segment I've been looking forward to the most.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
I'm having a bad f***ing weekend.
Best and worst, tell us everything that you did here on DFW Sports Station. Choppy, how did you do post-father news? Just kind of letting it all settle in after you told us on Friday that Chop Sr. passed away.
It was normal. Back to normal on the weekend. I compartmentalize like a sociopath, so I've almost already forgotten that he's not here with us.
You seem in good spirits.
You gotta be, right? You know, it's better. It's better that he's not here anymore. It's better that he's not eating baby food. Mm-hmm. It's better that he's not having to wear diapers and be confined to a bed and choking on his own saliva. So it's so much better this way that he is free.
And Bobby, you were confined to a bed all weekend.
Yeah, this is not fun. I did not go to the game yesterday. I was not around for the Jerry scrum. I was not in the stadium. I was not doing anything fun Saturday. I was just Friday night. It finally was what has been lingering, really came with a vengeance and kicked my ass. And so I got fever Friday and went and got some meds and just did not feel great the entire weekend. And still, you ever have like you jump in a pool and like that lingering chlorine burn exists in your sinuses after you're done?
Yeah.
I got that feeling in my sinuses right now. And so it's just kind of lingering and kicking
dry,
my ass a little
very
bit.
Dry.
Yeah. I have two bests of the weekend. Number one, I think my kids are finally healthy. Now my wife is sick, but I'll take the trade. Sorry, dear. My daughter going through what she did. Oh, man, that was rough. But I think they're both finally good. But my other best of the weekend, and I could not get enough of this yesterday. Otolo brought it up 1 hour ago. Sharif, why aren't you celebrating and dancing on the grave of Skip Bayless? The bombshell that came out from frontofficesports.com. It was supposed to be about Skip. It turned into Joy Taylor. That Skip Bayless apparently offered $1.5 million for the hairstylist at FS1 to sleep with him, that he was harassing her, lingering hugs and kisses on the cheek while putting his body against hers. Additionally, the lawsuit claims that he accused the girl of having relations with Shannon Sharp. She went to FS1. She complained about it, went to HR, and in order to get Skip away from her, she told him, hey, I'm suffering from ovarian cancer. Okay, like, chill out, relax. I don't know whether she is or not, whether she made it up or not. She also said at one point, hey, Skip, you're married. Bayless said, aren't you Muslim? Doesn't your dad have 3 to 4 wives? That's the Skip Bayless part.
Is that a
please work with me?
A thing?
Is that a thing?
I thought it was like Mormons.
I thought so. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I've
seen.
Yeah, no Muslim.
On 90 Day Fiance right now, and the girl's actually from Frisco. The guy she married, he's like, if you can't give me a baby, and our, you know, I can get someone else to give me a baby within our religion and culture.
It's a difference. It's a difference in theology, in Islamic theology. There are some who say, yep, we get clearance for polyamory here. Others will say, no, you do not.
But so. Then we get into the main. Now, Skip's is possibly, you know, that's a legal issue, harassment and all that.
Right.
I don't think Joy Taylor's is, but you decide for yourself. Joy Taylor, Jason Taylor's sister, the article says and suggests, the lawsuit says she slept her way to the top.
You're kidding.
That there was an exec.
Jeez, Bob.
I'm asking.
I mean, pretty ignorant assumption just to blindly say, any attractive girl.
I didn't.
Well, your sarcasm assumed it. So just, we have a meeting today. And you might have 2 meetings with HR.
2 meetings.
So Joy Taylor, one of the hosts, the show was Skip and Shannon. And Skip did not want Joy Taylor to host that show. An executive at Fox, you got to see this guy's picture. An executive was apparently messing with Joy Taylor. Not someone you would think Joy Taylor would ever touch, especially after what she said to you at the Houston bar.
Well, look, it hit me yesterday that it's not that I wasn't.
That's more hurtful than Kaylin not talking to you on the way out of here.
No, absolutely not. I'll tell you why. I realized it had nothing to do with me. I just wasn't important enough.
Right.
That's fine with me. I could deal with that.
Exactly.
I'd much rather have someone think I'm not important than to think I'm ugly.
So this executive basically begs Skip, no, you got to let Joy, I'm telling you, she's the right fit. You know, she's the one to be with you and Shannon. Let me at least set up a dinner. Apparently, Joy shows up to this dinner dressed all provocative. And Skip not only still didn't want her to host, apparently Skip did not partake. He was saving the $1.5 million for the hairdresser.
Yes.
And he still, like, Joy Taylor showing up looking all whatever, did not convince Skip to mess around. He didn't take the bait, and he didn't want her on the show still. Then the bombshell that Joy Taylor, who I believe was married to Earl Watson. Earl Watson, the former NBA player, they went out to a dinner with the executive and his wife. Earl starts, the former husband, it doesn't say Earl, I should be accurate. The former husband is like, there's something going on between you two. He later finds out that Joy is having an affair or messing around, divorces her, and then it comes out that Joy is messing with Manny Acho.
Right in the butt.
What?
No, come on, don't dump that drop.
I just dumped the producer.
No.
That was such a good drop.
I just dumped the producer. Y'all are not getting me in trouble today. I already am in trouble with the spies over at Frisco. I got enough on my plate.
All context.
I'm not going to deal with you two getting me in trouble. And she's been having a romantic relationship with Manny Acho.
Man, I feel like I've already had a conversation this weekend about something just very, very similar with this.
Yeah. Holy
this
cow.
And then
the hairdresser sees Joy in the hallways, and she's like, I don't know if you should be messing with Acho and the executive. Mm-hmm. And she goes, don't worry about it. Well, first off, when the hairdresser, who this story is supposed to be about, went to Joy and said, I'm getting harassed by Skip, Joy Taylor apparently told her, just shut up and get over it. Get over it. Okay. And then the hairdresser said, hey, I've seen you with Acho. I know about the executive. Maybe you shouldn't do both. And Joy tells her, mind your business. Don't worry about it. After a while, I'm dumping the executive and I'm going to tell people that he was harassing me.
Right. So these are all the
allegations.
The way the quote is in the deposition,
this is amazing,
that she is also now powerful as well. And once he was no longer useful, she would follow through on her plan to tell the company that he forced himself on her. She would not allow herself to be forced out by Mr. Dixon like other women talents.
Wow. So Joy Taylor ends up like climbing up the charts for maybe not doing anything illegal, although the hairdresser says that she was verbally abused by Joy. Joy was making religious remarks and insults towards her. You're not supposed to mess around within the company. That's not illegal.
Not illegal.
Sleeping your way up the ladder is not illegal. Skip's the one who apparently is dealing with the harassment stuff. But Manny Acho, who never shuts up, never, he's got to go live for anything in life. Mr. I just found God and all that stuff. Dead silent. All of them dead silent on the final day of the NFL regular season. Hilarious. Manny had his little sarcastic comment to Mike Zimmer when Zimmer got engaged to his fiance recently. And she's this younger Maxim, I don't know, whatever model, some young attractive blonde. And he made his little smart ass comment going, oh, you're on the Bill Belichick dating tree. And I was like, now do yours. Because apparently Manny is going through his timeline and deleting certain things. He didn't tweet or come up with any new content, but he's trying to erase evidence.
He's gotta clear it away. He's gotta clear away that history. I'm just excited for the next couple weeks to see what comes out.
Will they address anything today?
No. Zero chance. I don't even
know. When does the internal memo get leaked over there?
I bet you they're not even on the air today. I bet you they're kept off the air. And
because she's on now with Pierce and Irvin and Shady.
Yes. And so
is Shady on that show?
I believe so, yeah.
No, he's not.
Is he not anymore?
It's Irvin, Pierce. I don't know. I know those two. Oh, Keyshawn. It's Keyshawn.
It's not a very good show. That's all I know.
Yeah.
I would bet they're not on the air today. I bet Fox is just... I mean, Fox's statement late last night was, we take all allegations very seriously. We will have no further comments. So I would not imagine they'll even let them be on the air today, is what I would guess.
I'm so happy. Gosh, please get Skip. Please, $1.5 million.
Game is free, bro. Game is free. It doesn't cost anything to just have some good game.
Yep.
I will say the Acho one, this is funny. Years ago, like literally like 10 years ago, we were trying to figure out. This is before. Did you know who Emmanuel Acho was?
Was he at DallasCowboys.com?
He was for a little bit. Yeah. Did you know who he was 10 years ago? Like, outside of just he played in the league, there's an Acho guy. But, like, did you know anything about Emmanuel Acho?
You knew the family through text.
Right.
But not really.
Yeah, not hardly at all. About 10 years ago, I was looking around for, there was a draft party with some people that I was working with that I was like, all right, we're going to see if we can get just some personality to be out there for it. What do you think his rate was a decade ago to show up per hour?
For how many hours?
2 hours.
2014.
His hourly rate.
$1,000.
$3,000.
An hour?
An hour. For Emmanuel Acho?
Yeah.
Before he was...
That's like those cameo ones where you're like, huh?
Yeah. Before he was sanctified. Yeah, exactly.
It's like make the price so high that like no one's going to pay. They only pay because like, surely you're
important. Oh, he replied with his rate. I was like, I'm not replying back to that. And he thought enough.
Man, he's like, RK Sneed prices.
Oh, without the dorky sweater vest. Yeah. A week later, he circled back.
Jackass.
A week later, he circled back and even like was like, hey, let's try to make this happen. Let me know further. And so, like, I was like, no, I'm not replying to this.
RJ has a new Cowboy quarterback, and the reasons maybe history teaching us we shouldn't be replacing Mike McCarthy just yet. That's next on Sean and RJ 105 through the Fan.